OpenAI, so the owner, if you like, of the GPT brand, is hunting down companies that are using GPT. So it's actually trademarked.
We went from Chinese, Korean, German, English, French, like these big languages, and like 7 years later, we're like translating local dialects. This is the Pod of Slater, and we welcome all of you. Hi there, Esther.
Hi, Florian.
All right, big week for us today. 2023 market report out, 140 pages. So it's a book at this point. We should print it and put it in the back of our, our virtual backgrounds or our real backgrounds here. Obviously part of the subscriptions. So if you're a growth, pro, or enterprise subscriber, you're going to get it as part of your package. So I'm expecting a fair amount of downloads when this is out, latest by Friday. So at the day this hits the RSS feed. Now, also really excited about SlaterCon Remote. DeepL is our panel partner. So this is a first. Haven't heard of DeepL being out there and, being part of the kind of conference circus too often. And we're also on track, I think, for record attendance, at least like by the early numbers. We're giving an update on all things ChatGPT, but also a bunch of other things. So head over to the event website and get a quick look at the agenda. So, with so many people registering, it's going to be great for networking. All right, what's on the agenda, Pod? You're going to give us a bit of the highlights of the 2023 market report. And then, we're going to talk about OpenAI hunting anybody down who's putting GPT in their brand. Then a quick review of Appen's stumbles on their strategy refresh. We're not going to dive too deep, but it's interesting how low the stock can go. And then I'm going to give you a quick Swiss corner. This is a podcast that people, I guess, across the globe listen to. But I'm still going to give you a quick Swiss corner there. There's a bunch of NLP and machine translation announcements coming out of my small part of the world. So, first though, 2023 market report out. Esther, give us some of the highlights and bullet points here.
Yeah, well, really exciting to have the report published. So we've got, as you mentioned, 140 pages. There's obviously a lot to unpack, but you can expect the usual language industry market size sort of analysis, as well broken down by lots of different factors. You've got the headline figure of a market size of 27.89 billion, so roughly 28 billion in 2022. Growth of nearly 5%, 4.77% from 2021. I think we had a bit of discussion about that in terms of moderate overall growth rate year on year, but probably a lot of that coming in the first half of 2022. So sort of a year ago with a slowdown towards the end of 2022 and into 2023, as I think a lot of us are observing. Market size is broken down by geography, vertical. So we kind of splice and dice it in different ways, as well as into our framework of buyer intentions. So this is the reasons that buyers are actually ordering and buying translation and interpreting to begin with. We delve into vertical analysis, looking at the higher growth verticals. So for example, media localization, gaming, travel and retail, which were up fairly strongly in 2022. On the flip side, you've got verticals such as technology, engineering and manufacturing, which actually sort of softened and contracted a little bit in 2022, not hugely. We look at it from a geographical perspective, the market. So you've got the largest regional market in North America, around $11 billion in 2022, followed quite closely by Europe at $10 billion and Asia, sort of $4.5-ish billion. Those three major markets accounting for more than 90% of the overall market size in the year. Lots of analysis, which I think people have come to expect from our reports. But then also some quite interesting one pagers and graphics and design elements as well. So we've got a timeline of key events in 2022 and 2023 to date, covering everything that we would normally report on, but sort of the major milestones around funding, M&A, people moves, product launches, and even AI events during that time period. Another really handy graphic is this kind of one pager on competing in adjacent markets for anyone who's looking at exploring, you know, operating outside of the core of translation and localization. We look at market opportunities to be found in some of these areas, as well as some of the barriers. And then really exciting is our spotlight chapters, which we've also done in previous year's reports, but kind of changed the focus year on year. This year, we're looking at AI dubbing. So super topical, captioning and transcription, also super topical and interesting with everything that's going on in the speech to text, generally in speech space. But I think most excitingly, there's more than 20 pages dedicated to large language models, including, you know, how they're being applied, integrated into the language industry. So yeah, lots. I mean, I think that was probably still in draft as of like 24 hours ago or something.
Probably now.
So I mean, it's as up to the minute as you could possibly hope for as of, you know, mid-May 2023, in terms of what's going on in the world of LLMs of relevance for language service providers, TMS providers, and everyone else in operating in our industry. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Big one. This is the biggest report we've ever published. And I'm sure it's going to be really helpful for everyone, like, you know, LSPs, tech companies, all these investors that are looking at the space. This is a fantastic starting point, or also deep dive, depending on where you want to go. Now, should I launch a website called localizationgpt4.ai, Esther?
I mean, there's many reasons why you shouldn't go for that particular website. However, yeah, this is a story that we picked up on this week around OpenAI kind of policing the use of GPT in, for example, company names, brand names, product names, and website domains, all of that being tied together. But we noticed this week that OpenAI, so the owner, if you like, of the GPT brand, is hunting down companies that are using GPT. So it's actually trademarked.
That blew my mind. I couldn't believe that they actually trademarked this thing.
It makes sense. Think of, like, now, I mean, it's basically synonymous with LLM. So, you know, you have to be careful. You've got like the Hoover. It's not a Hoover, right? It's a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, but still, GPT was something like super like niche and whatever. Obviously, now it's no longer is, right? But also the fact that they, I mean, let me just pull this up. So I'm pulling up the World Intellectual Property, what is it? Database. So Feb 2023, it was registered, and, you know, it's for 10 years. So they trademarked GPT in Feb. Like, how come nobody else tried to do this before? Like, really? GPT. This is incredible. And I don't know. I mean, type of mark, it says word.
Yeah, but I suppose the story is that they are, via a third party, now contacting people or companies that are using GPT in, like we said, company names, in product names, in websites, etc., basically informing the companies that they are not following the branding guidelines. So via a third party, OpenAI basically says, stating, in quotation marks, GPT is inaccurate and may imply a partnership or endorsement where there isn't one. So this is their reasoning. They also say, we do not permit the use of OpenAI models or GPT in product or app names because it confuses the end users. It does make sense when you think of it on that level, because you could just call a company GPT and it could not even have anything remotely related to GPT. Not that you would, but there is that risk, I suppose. But yes, relevant for people in the language industry, because if anybody gets the idea of calling their newly launched website, you know, Translate GPT or something of that ilk, then probably best not to.
Yeah, that was kind of a public service announcement, because if you start amplifying this news piece, and we got it from Twitter, there was some guy who, I think it was SiteGPT.ai. And then he's like, uh-oh, I just got a notice from some, yeah, this brand shield company that OpenAI is basically not allowing me to do that. But it's just, it's interesting that, like, I mean, GPT, again, it's generative pre-trained transformer. I mean, it seems like a very general thing. So, like, how can you even trademark something like this? It's like trademarking MT.
It's the acronym, potentially, rather than, you know, maybe it just wasn't really an acronym before. I don't, it is strange to trademark a word.
And I mean, this is out there. I mean, there's a lot of other companies that have obviously launched generative pre-trained transformer-based things, right? So, all right, don't put it into your domain. Don't put it in your name.
Or products. Probably not even. I'd steer clear of it too much in marketing materials as well.
Don't use it. Yeah, they'll come after you. No longer so open, OpenAI. It's very closed. It's very closed and very profit-oriented. Okay, so what's going on at Appen? Just very, very briefly, I just basically checked the stock this morning. I'm like, okay, what's going on? You know, fell by another, whatever, 30, 40, 50%. What's happening in Australia?
Yeah, I didn't have a chance to check out the stock, but I did see their financial update. So this is for the first 4 months of 2023 up till the end of April. Basically, revenues and gross profit are coming in below, so lower than the previous comparable periods. That would be the same first 4 months of 2022. Revenue's 21% down. Gross profit is 25% down versus the previous year. So they're cautioning effectively that they're expecting a slowdown throughout 2023 in revenue, on a revenue level. So they're saying they continue to face headwinds from the broader technology market slowdown, which obviously we observed, as I said, in sort of across the market for language services in technology. So they're expecting revenue to decline materially in full year 23 compared to full year 2022. But they have identified quite a lot of cost savings. I think they had originally identified something like $10 million in cost savings that would be realized in the course of the current financial year, full year 23. They have now also, and this is part of the news that we read yesterday, today, expected, they're identifying, I think, a further $36 million in cost savings that will take a little bit longer to kind of realize and achieve. But I think the message there is that even if revenues are expected to materially decline, they're obviously putting a lot of effort into this cost-saving initiatives and measures. And they did say they expect to exit 2023 with underlying EBITDA and cash EBITDA being positive.
All right. Well, good luck to them. Obviously, relevant to this language industry in terms of data for AI, language data for AI, which is also undergoing a bit of a disruption now with the large language models. You know, the jury is still out if it's good or bad, or, you know, where is this going? Okay, so from GPT to BERT. Do you know what BERT means?
I don't.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I literally just looked it up on Wikipedia right now.
I think I would have done it some stage. Something about transformers.
Correct. The T is for trans. So it's bidirectional encoder representation from transformers. BERT is a family of masked language models introduced in 2018 by researchers at Google. Now, it's going local. So this is not just any BERT that we're going to talk about now briefly. It's the Swiss BERT. So I came across this. It was published in a research paper about 3-4 weeks ago. So the Swiss BERT, launched by Janis Vamwas and Rico Senrich. Rico Senrich is really a veteran in the machine translation space. Was previously, I think, was with the University of Edinburgh, and now came back to Zurich. He's originally, I think, Swiss, and so Department of Computational Linguistics. And then Johannes Grein from the Linguistic Research Infrastructure Center at the University of Zurich. Now Swiss BERT, and again, this is the Swiss corner. So, you know, because there's a couple more things coming out here from Switzerland. So Swiss BERT, a language model created specifically for processing Switzerland-related texts. So it's a pre-trained model that they adapted to news articles written in the national languages of Switzerland, German, French, Italian, and Romansh. And, you know, they evaluated it on natural language understanding tasks related to Switzerland and find that it tends to outperform previous models on these tasks, especially in processing contemporary news and or Romansh Grijun. Now, Romansh Grijun, for those who don't know, there's about 70,000, Romansh speakers in kind of the eastern part of Switzerland, eastern southern part of Switzerland. And they speak about five or six separate dialects among those 70,000 people. So they had to come up with a kind of a unified version of that, you know, super niche small language called Romansh Grijun, which I don't think a lot of people would speak like in their day-to-day lives, but it's something that they would like speak in the news and things like that. All right. So SwissBird, they say that it might be extended to the Swiss German dialects. So now it's just for the kind of standard versions, you know, Italian, French, English, and Romansh Grijun, but might be extended to the dialect. Trained on 21 million Swiss news articles, which ended up being on with a total of 12 billion tokens. And so the tasks they tested it on was named entity recognition, named entity recognition on historical news, sentence retrieval, and word alignment. I'm not going to go too much into detail because I think it needs somebody more expert than me to unpack this. But basically, and they open sourced the model. I find it interesting that now these models are going so niche, right? And it's all open source, so people can start building on this, whatever use cases they would find. So yeah, that's SwissBird. So if you're, in NLP development, go to GitHub, Zurich NLP, SwissBird.
Very cool.
Very cool. For Romansh. I love it how this kind of like really, for a long time, kind of overlooked language is now kind of becoming like almost a bit of a focus for kind of low resource NLP, right? So that's interesting. Now, the Swiss Parliament, it kind of in a similar on a similar thread here, voted on the use of dialect in Parliament. You know, if you go to Swiss Parliament, you can speak Italian, French, or German, and then like standard German with a heavy Swiss accent. But of course, the local language would be any of the kind of 20, 25, 30 dialects. So now there was one more right-leaning parliamentarian that said, well, why can't we speak dialect in Parliament? And then it was voted down because they said, well, it's going to create difficulties with translation. Translators would need to learn numerous Swiss German dialects. That's a bit like learn numerous, like you know, they're mostly intelligible. So, they wouldn't have to learn them, but I guess maybe struggle a little bit. And then challenges, understanding each other and potential gaps between what was said and what was recorded in written form. Swiss German can be written, but it's not really standardized. So, it's like you can just write as you speak. I mean, imagine, it would just create a bunch of problems. Now, though, segue. Text Shuttle, the Zurich-based machine translation company, just yesterday on Wednesday, May 10th, launched, of all things, kind of a free machine translation website, portal, whatever you want to call it, right? Kind of DeepL, Google Translate-like. Because they didn't have that before. Before that, it was B2B, and you could call them, and they'd install on site. They tweak your machine translation, etc., and build it for you, build the model, etc. But now they launch it free of. You can just use it free of charge. And the languages are, of course, English, French, German, Italian. So national languages, including English, which a lot of people, of course, use for business, etc. And Romansh, our friend, and now Swiss German. So you can. You can translate German into Swiss German. And the this initial launch includes the Zurich and the Bern dialect. And it works really well. I tested it. Tested it on like a basic thing that in Swiss German, you don't have a simple past. So basically, I was at this place yesterday. Doesn't exist. Like you would have to say, I have been at this place in German, in Swiss German. So long story short, it kind of got the basics right. And then I put in like a pretty large kind of couple of paragraphs and just there were two minor issues. It's just super weird that like you see Swiss German written out like in a machine translation service, and you know, it's very good. So I think initially I posted on LinkedIn that I think my initial use case would be like all the expats that are struggling to either respond to WhatsApp messages here, for like local WhatsApp groups, or read them, right? Because like it's all in dialect, and they're like, well, I'm an expat, English speaking or whatever, and I make an effort to study standard German. Now you guys kind of post all this stuff in this like really like weird, you know, local variant. So congrats to Tech Shuttle. To this launch, I don't think this has existed before, and I'm you know, there is a chance this could go viral among kind of the people here and just use it for all kinds of use cases. So good launch. So that was my little Swiss corner.
Thanks for giving us a glimpse into your world.
Well, I mean, let me try to kind of bring this home in a broader sense. Like we went from this, you know, 5-6 years ago. 7 years ago, kind of neural, okay, let's focus on, you know, Chinese, Korean, German, English, French, like these big languages. And like 7 years later, we're like translating local dialects. And like, this gives you the option to not even local dialects, like sub variants of local dialects. And it's for free, right? So I guess NLP, language tech, is really penetrating through all of these different layers.
It's repeatable, isn't it? In India, in any country that's got multiple sort of languages spoken.
Yeah, so you really scale this across, you know, everywhere, and then, you know, you maybe pivot through. So you're getting to this point where, like, at some point, this is going to work for really the more low resource languages is quite well. And then, you know, this is really quite a big enabler for, I guess, global communication and also, you know, B2B uses. So cool. All right. Head over to the website, get your copy of the 2023 Language Industry Market Report, and register for SlaterCon. See you next week.
Bye.